W252DR Oshkosh. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Floating the possibility of splitting up Ukraine and Israel funding from border security reform, Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell in a closed-door meeting with fellow Republican senators. That's according to reports. Senator Tim Kaine, Virginia Democrat.
My hope would be if they decide first we should do the deal. We should put it up for a vote. But if they decide that now they're not interested in border, I won't be surprised, since they killed a border deal in 2013 and they killed one in 2018.
Emphasizing new projects under the bipartisan infrastructure law in Superior, Wisconsin, President Biden saying President Trump made similar promises unfulfilled.
He didn't get on my watch. Instead of infrastructure week, America's having an infrastructure decade.
With the South Carolina Republican presidential primary coming, Nikki Haley is attending at least 17 fundraising events across five states, say people raising money for her to ABC News. Wall Street major indexes closed higher. This is ABC News. Arguments underway in the involuntary manslaughter trial of a mom.
Passionate opening statements on both sides in the trial of Jennifer Crumbly, the mother of Michigan high school shooter Ethan Crumbly. Her defense attorney, Shannon Smith, telling jurors Jennifer isn't responsible for the four students who were killed in November 2021 at Oxford High School.
And had no way to know what was going to happen.
But prosecutor Mark Key said Crumbly's willful disregard of her son's behavior and access to a gun makes her criminally liable.
Jennifer Crumbly didn't pull the trigger that day, but she is responsible for those deaths.
Derek Dennis, ABC News.
Sales of new homes were up 4.2% last year compared to the year before. That's according to the Census Bureau and the Department of Housing and Urban Development. Average sales price, $487,000. The U.S. Coast Guard comes to the rescue of 33 people trapped on a sinking ship about 6 miles north of the Haiti coast. They say all on board were pulled on board the Cutter Dependable. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try soon. Harry's is available online and in-store at a retailer near you. Get a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/quality. That's harrys.com/quality. Or check us out at your local Costco for a price you can't find anywhere else. Just look for the Chrome Razor with 13 blade refills at your local Costco. You can't miss it. Exclusive to Costco members.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Biden in Wisconsin today announcing $1 billion to replace Superior's aging Blotnick Bridge. Biden says the investment will make a huge difference.
Less traffic, fewer car accidents, faster commutes to your jobs and schools, quicker response times from fire trucks and first responders when every minute counts. Goods are going to get shipped quicker, and commerce will flow more freely instead of having to detour.
It's part of the $1 trillion bipartisan infrastructure law paying for bridge and road repairs across the country. The Wisconsin Assembly today is giving final legislative approval to a bill to put new abortion restrictions, with some exceptions, to a binding statewide referendum in April. Governor Evers has said repeatedly he will veto any bill that makes abortion less accessible. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
The Bucks win at home. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. A week ago, the Bucks lost by 40 points to the Cavaliers in Cleveland. Last night, it was the Bucks 126-116 over the Cavs at Fiserv Forum. Damian Lillard with 28 points, and was asked what went through his mind after hearing Adrian Griffin had been fired as head coach.
Like everybody else, you know, just kind of surprised by it. But I've also been around long enough to know that it's part of the business.
Joe Prunty on serving as interim head coach until a new one is officially announced.
In all of my years of doing this, It's never been about me.
College hoops, number 14th ranked Marquette down to DePaul in Chicago, 86-73. The Badgers will host Michigan State at the Kohl Center tomorrow night. NFL, the Packers fired their strength and conditioning coach, Chris Gizzy, after five seasons. Gizzy was the linebacker for the Pack who carried the U.S. flag onto the field the first game after 9/11. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy and foggy tonight with areas of rain and lows in the low 30s. More drizzle, fog, some mixed snow and showers tomorrow, more clouds and highs in the upper 30s. And staying in the upper 30s and mostly cloudy this weekend. Even warmer into next week with some 40s. Currently 35 degrees.
Hey, this is Aaron from the Todd Allbaugh Show. On Friday, Todd continues his winter tour around Wisconsin, and we are joined by Peter Rabine of E-Bombs World. Join us noon to 2.
From the home of the largest fly-in in the world, we are Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM, WISS.
more that the building itself and the again, this is from the perspective of now the COs, right? The people that are working there, no one wants to work there. It's not worth the money because of the building itself, the environment, and the overcrowding. It's just not a place you want to show up to work for, no matter how much they're paying for you.
Correct. I've spoken to several recently retired guards, and they said people used to want to work at GBCI, and it's just gotten so old and so broken down and so dangerous that it's just not worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one I heard recently from a person who had left, not anywhere close to being retired, loved the industry, but just couldn't work there anymore. It was safety.
Yeah.
He was concerned for his personal safety working there. And so he finally just said, I can't do this anymore. It's too risky.
Yeah. All right. So again, we have an old, really old, overcrowded situation, decrepitating. And now we have a situation where everybody knows the place needs to be taken down. There's no saving the building. It's bad for the people that work there. It's bad for people that are in there. It's bad, bad, bad. Mm-hmm. And we have an overcrowding issue. And we're understaffed, which means it's not getting any better. So now we move into the phase of my understanding is there has been bipartisan support to take it down. The question really is, and then what? Is the answer to, from the governor's perspective, my understanding is we need to work on, and actually as former Congressman Reed Ribble said last week, we are putting too many people in prison. And again, that's a debatable conversation, but our conversation last week with a strong conservative is a believer of we do need to revisit what we're doing on the front end that will absolutely affect the capacity on the back end. The legislature is looking at this prison as it's just got to go. Let's build another one. It would be cheaper to run. So we have those two solutions out there. Again, bipartisan support in terms of replacing, and the governor doesn't want to do it yet. So tell me, as the president of Alloway, tell me what your thoughts are.
What happens after they close it is above my pay grade. But I do have an opinion.
That's okay. Share the opinion.
That's the opinion we want.
The GBCI is a maximum security prison. And so you need to have, and people I've talked to who are incarcerated there, will admit and agree that if someone commits a bad crime, which most people in there have, they should be separated from society.
Agreed.
While they can heal.
Right.
And so you have to have a place for that to happen. GBCI is not that place. GBCI is a dangerous place because of the people who are in there, in part. So what do you do? In that population of approximately 1,000 people, you have 69% of them having mental health needs. And I think it is 10% that have serious mental health needs. So that tells you need to have a place, you need to have services and programs to be able to help those folks.
Right.
Yeah, Jim, you and I talked.
Let him finish his thought because you have to have a place.
I was going to help him through that one because I think I know where you're going with this, but go ahead.
So there are programs across the country and across the world where you break your population down into three. I heard last week you were talking about lifers. 15% of the people there are lifers. 69% need mental health needs. And the rest are people who made bad mistakes in life but have an opportunity, hopefully, to come back into society safely.
Yes.
Yeah.
You need to have the programs for those folks. Today we don't have those. They're on lockdown, like you said. We don't have the mental health support that you need for those folks. And then for the lifers, you need to have a place for them to live.
You know, what's interesting coming out of that part, because I believe in that. There are some, we're heading into our next break, but there are always going to be some people that the idea of changing this situation isn't a matter of letting people go, right? Well, we know we have to adjust, but again, those that should never come out, those that need special handling, and those that just made a minor mistake, if we're not providing what the second two categories need to reenter, we're actually making it worse.
Correct.
Right.
So we're having, a good conversation here about the prison system in Wisconsin, specifically Green Bay Correctional, with our guest Jim Rafferty, my guest host Dean Rash, and I am Chris Elfheim. Come on back on the backside of the break. Out.
You know it's gonna be. right. All right. All right. You say you got a real solution.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
Crunch the numbers. Wisconsin's state retirement system is financing polluters and helping create climate chaos, which is not good for our water, our air, or our planet. It's time to insist on common sense investments, not bankrolling yesterday's fossil fuels. Be the change. Go to climatesafepensionswisconsin.org and sign the petition. Our investments should be protected, and it should serve to protect. Future generations will thank you.
I'm Dr. Jasmine Zapata, Chief Medical Officer for Community Health at the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. Every year in the U.S., about 21,000 lung cancer deaths are caused by radon, an odorless, tasteless, and colorless gas. One in 10 Wisconsin homes has high levels of radon. Does yours? Call 1-888-LOW-RADON or visit lowradon.org to learn more. Test. Fix. Save a life.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
Welcome back to the Rational Revolution. I am Chris Alfie. I'm here again with my co-host, Mr. Dean Rash, and my guest. And I did his name wrong last time. I gave him credit for being a great piano player. If you're from the Bay, you know what I mean. Minister Jim Rafter, the village president of Alloway. And we are having a great conversation about, you know, what's going on in the Green Bay Correctional Facility and, you know, who's being impacted and what that means to the community and all those people. So coming out of the break, we had mentioned mental health. And again, I'm going to refer back to last week's conversation with Congressman Ribble. And we talked about the fact that the population in our prisons is sky high and the challenge of mental health and drugs, to mm-hmm. be honest. Those were the two big things that we could agree on across the board.
Yeah, the biggest impacts that we're seeing with prison
are
reform.
Issues. So let's talk about mental health. You described the situation, the housing situation in here. We're supposed to have 700 and some odd. We have, you know, 300 more people than we can handle. There are a major, I think you just said 7,000. Tell me what, say that stat again.
In 2023, there were 7,000 conduct reports issued, and half of those were serious offenses.
7,000
yep.
in
that's
a year.
An average of 20 a day.
Now, oh. I think that's a lot.
That's a crazy number.
Well, it's a crazy number. Not we got to imagine why, because I think there's a natural reaction to many people that think, well, who cares? You know, they're in prison. It's not supposed to be comfortable. Mm-hmm. However, if we agree that mental illness is a real issue, and oftentimes they're coming in with that condition, whether it be minor all the way up to extreme, then we now are putting them in a situation where they're living in a 5x10 box, 23 hours a day, in many cases with a roommate. Is there any way ever that someone's mental health would get better in that dynamic?
No, I'm the conservative on the conversation here, and honestly, even this shocks me.
That's crazy. And even when you look at the corrections officers themselves, if your job is to maintain
order
yeah. in a facility and you have 1,000 people that are literally caged up and emotions are magnified and thoughts are magnified because they have nothing else to do, you can imagine the hostility of those inside. And where does the hostility end up coming out to?
Right.
The only place it can, which is one another or the officers themselves, all of which is bad.
And a stat that he shared, that Jim shared with me too in this list, is in 2020, there was a 3-to-1 ratio for staff to the prison population, the inmate population.
In what year?
2020.
Okay.
Today it's 7-to-1. So it's going backward. It's more than double the number of inmates that they have to manage with staff based on the number of people that are now there and the low staffing that they have. That's a crazy stat.
Yeah. I mean, and if you've got a hostile environment internally, that's not going to get better. And I can understand why the easiest way to deal with it is to lock the door, right?
Exactly.
They don't have another option.
You can see how they ended up there. That doesn't mean you have to support that idea or believe it was the best choice, but you can see why. Mm-hmm. So how do we go forward from that? And again, we're not solving the fact that whether we should be replacing or we're not even fixing that yet. But let's just talk at the bigger picture. How do we address, in a perfect world, if you could, Jim, restructure, magic wand, what is it that you would be providing inside of that facility?
There's a play. I saw a 60-minute spot called on a place called The Rock in Connecticut. And they took a maximum security prison and created three separate populations, three separate neighborhoods, if you will. One to allow the lifers to live there, many of whom wanted to make a difference in life, even though they were going to be there forever.
Yeah.
And then the group of people who made bad mistakes in life, but had a chance to come out.
Yep.
And then those with mental health needs. And they took care of the folks with mental health needs, separated them, hopefully got them the help they needed. But then they did something unique, and it was modeled after either something in Denmark, like you had mentioned mm-hmm. last year or last week, or some other European country. But the guards actually lived in common with the incarcerated. Mm-hmm. And they got to know each other. They got to understand each other. They got to communicate. And there was one of the guards said, you know what, you have a chance. And he was a great basketball player. So he commissioned the governor and a university, got the kid out of prison into the university. He was the captain of his junior year of the basketball team and became a shining light, if you will, yeah. of the program. I'm sure that doesn't happen to everyone, but it's an opportunity to look at doing things differently, as you mentioned.
Right.
And I think the state of Wisconsin needs to look at doing things differently.
Yeah.
You can't throw everyone into a place that's 125 years old, lock them up 23 hours a day, many with mental health needs, and expect nothing bad to happen.
Yep.
And you're treating them all the same way.
You're treating them all the same way.
You're treating them all as if they're a lifer who's committed multiple murders
yep.
to a guy who's maybe, you know, significant white-collar crime type of thing. I don't know, but I'm just saying they're different people.
When you're in, you're in.
You're in, exactly. You're all treated the same. And I get part of that. I understand that philosophy, but I like what you were just talking about.
Yeah. Remember, we were talking the other day that I watched the series Oz a while back.
Right.
And that's 20-plus years old already. And they were doing the concept of general population is the normal way. Segregation is the concept of you know, the whole, or mm-hmm. you're by yourself. And then they had what was called Emerald City. And the Emerald City was more of an open flow type philosophy. And that's kind of the whole theory of that. Give them an opportunity. And things go wrong with that too, right?
Of course.
I know that's a fictional story, but the reality is there is no perfect answer. No. We are still dealing with complex people and complex situations, but we have to have a complex system in order to help. If that isn't our intent, if our intent is to rehabilitate, then we have got to be able to realize that we need to do a better job. I read on our state laws someplace that we have some of the best, you know, if you look at what an institution provides, it's educational, it's work, it's this and that, it's mental health, it's all these things. If we're that far understaffed, are we doing any of those things?
Nope.
Absolutely not.
Not at this place anyway, right?
Absolutely not.
Right.
Now, wanting to is different than actually doing. And mm-hmm. again, if we're not doing, then we are letting down on our side and not helping that person to become the person we want them to be.
And to get them back into society and contribute
again. Which is our goal.
Exactly.
Right?
We don't want them back.
All right. So let us head into the next break. Again, we are talking the prison system a little bit here, specifically the Green Bay Correctional Institution. This is Chris Alfheim. Come on back. Please.
This is Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Floating the possibility of splitting up Ukraine and Israel funding from border security reform, Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell in a closed-door meeting with fellow Republican senators. That's according to reports. Senator Tim Kaine, Virginia Democrat.
My hope would be if they decide first we should do the deal. We should put it up for vote. But if they decide that now they're not interested in border, I won't be surprised, since they killed a border deal in 2013 and they killed one in 2018.
Emphasizing new projects under the bipartisan infrastructure law in Superior, Wisconsin, President Biden saying President Trump made similar promises unfulfilled.
He didn't get on my watch. Instead of infrastructure week, America is having an infrastructure decade.
With the South Carolina Republican presidential primary coming, Nikki Haley is attending at least 17 fundraising events across five states, say people raising money for her to ABC News. Wall Street major indexes closed higher. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The president of the Universities of Wisconsin says it will take years and more federal money to get the UW system back in the black. President Jay Rothman told a WIS Politics gathering in Milwaukee yesterday that campuses are still spending more money than they take in. Rothman did not rule out more layoffs or furloughs. He says he hopes to eliminate campus deficits by 2028. Healthcare in rural western Wisconsin will get more challenging after two major hospitals and several clinics close this spring. The AARP's Jim Flaherty says telehealth helps, but many places lack enough broadband.
Wisconsin has a great need for stronger, high-speed broadband service. It's got to be affordable and it's got to be accessible.
Flaherty says he supports efforts to boost rural broadband. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
Mino and the Mayor.
I've always been a big Rod Stewart fan.
Love him.
First song I ever made out to was Maggie May.
Did you see him?
And you know what I remember? I had a runny nose. Well, I was a freshman in high school. We were going to a basketball game.
John, I think that's enough.
First day, going with this other couple. The guy had a pickup truck. We rode the back. And I know my nose rubbed against her cheek. And I'm thinking, I wonder if I need to wipe that out.
God. I used to like Rod Stewart.
Love Rod Stewart.
Yeah. Weekday mornings from 6 until 8 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
And on the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy and foggy tonight with areas of rain and lows in the low 30s. More drizzle, fog, some mixed snow and showers tomorrow. More clouds and highs in the upper 30s. And staying in the upper 30s and mostly cloudy this weekend. Even warmer into next week with some 40s. Currently 35 degrees.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory, Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try soon. Harry's is available online and in-store at a retailer near you. Get a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/quality. That's harrys.com/quality. Or check us out at your local Costco for a price you can't find anywhere else. Just look for the Chrome Razor with 13 blade refills at your local Costco. You can't miss it. Exclusive to Costco members.
Broadcasting from the Civic Media Studios on South Main Street, this is Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM, WISS.
Welcome back to Thursday here with the Rational Revolution. That's the last time I can say that.
That's true.
That's true. That's the last time. From now on, we will actually be broadcasting on Saturdays and Sundays.
Statewide, even.
Statewide. We should mention that because we're very proud of that. Our little Rational Revolution is catching on. It is a purple wave across the state. People want to hear more rational conversations that matter to them. So we're very proud of that.
We are. And you mix blue with red, you get...
Nice job, Dean.
Is it purple?
Are you smarter than a four-year-old?
Not a fourth-year-old either.
Fourth-year-old. Now, we are very excited. Again, Rational Revolution, where we do our best just to have good conversations like we used to be able to do. We don't always see things on the same side, and that's okay, because we can talk about them and maybe learn a little bit from each other. Tonight, we are talking with Mr. Jim Rafter, the village president of Alloway. And we are talking about kind of our second week in a row, the prison system in different situations. And again, last week we talked with Congressman Ribble, and he had talked about mental health and drugs leading to a situation where we have more people in prison than we've ever had. And there are other dynamics involved in that, and we could go on for days. But tonight we're talking about specifically the facility up here in Green Bay, one of two of the oldest facilities still in use in the country.
One of the four oldest,
but we're talking 1898.
Right.
1898.
That's a long time.
Very overpopulated, huge issues, understaffed by 90. They're 90 people short. And because of that, the hardship on both the people that are in the situation live in living conditions that really are inappropriate and out of code for decades and decades, as well as it's a toxic work environment that even with wages clearing up to $60 an hour, we can't fill the spots because nobody wants to work there. Mm-hmm. So now again, back to the solution. So I want to talk about the community as the village president. Let's say this building gets taken down. What would be the economic impact? And again, that may not matter to everybody, but to some it does. What would be the economic impact of closing down the facility and not getting anything new in its place? If they just shut it down and resourced all the people out, which we're not saying we can do that, but if they could, what would be the impact?
It would be a very positive impact over time. And that's how we started this whole conversation back about 8 years ago. We did it for economic development opportunity. And we had a design done for mixed-use development. That property happens to sit on what I would argue to be some of the most valuable property in Brown County, right on the Fox River and a highway. That's 60 acres of land. And we had a village resident who was a master planner going and design a little community within a community, and had St. Norbert economic development folks take a look at it and give us an idea, what would that be worth to the community? And they estimated, and this was back in 18, they estimated the design of this mixed-use development would create approximately $150 million in taxable property, whereas today GBCI provides zero. That would generate, in today's dollars, probably a couple of $1 million in tax revenue.
Yeah.
That is a third of Alloway's tax revenue today. So it would be huge from that perspective.
And we have to talk about that, right? Mm-hmm. Again, our goal is to see things from different perspectives. So we've talked about the people in the conditions and whether they should be or should be not and what kind of treatment they're getting. Mm-hmm. And it's valid. And then we talk about the people that are trying to work there, and that's valid. And now you talk about a community. And both Dean and I are on common councils. Mm-hmm. We understand fully the strife of communities in trying to provide the water services, the infrastructure, the safety, all of these things. And so you now have this community that has 60 acres of prime real estate that something needs to be done. And there would be a gain, a tremendous ongoing financial gain, mm-hmm. yep. to shut this facility down and move it elsewhere.
Yep.
Right? So, I mean, that's reality too. Because that from a tax base, and again, people don't think something matters. Yes, it does. Mm-hmm. It may impact you individually as the first two categories. It may affect your kitchen table because from a tax standpoint. So, yep. no matter what, I think all of us are affected in this prison conversation. And again, we're trying to talk about different sides. But if it were to be shut down and a new facility built, do you have any thoughts, or have there been discussions as to where it would go?
Where a new prison would go?
Yeah.
The Brown County Board of Supervisors passed a resolution saying they wanted a new prison built in Brown County. Kewaunee County passed a resolution saying they wanted it in Kewaunee County. This was back in 2019, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Sounds about right.
And which is kind of surprising, right? People yeah. normally would think, I don't want a prison in my backyard. But it does provide great economic development opportunity for a community with getting a new prison.
Yeah.
I spoke with the mayor of Waupun. He would love to have a new prison in Waupun mm-hmm. because that's their history. And they're very proud of that history. He wants a community where people want to work, want to live, and they're not afraid of having a prison in their facility or in their boundaries.
Well, and Jim, I'll even say, you know, I grew up in East Green Bay, right on the border of Alloway and Green Bay. Yep. I've been around this area, you know, most of my life. I've never known of an issue with the prison having somebody getting out, you know, major problems, things like that. I think in my, you know, 40 plus years living in this community, I may have heard of maybe one or two escapes that happened, and that's it. It's been very secure and very safe, and it's right in neighborhoods.
It is, and it has been. It's ugly to look at from one side and from right. the other side.
It's actually quite amazing to look at from it the... Is that Riverside?
Riverside Drive.
It's an amazing, you know, architectural building.
Historical value there with some of it.
Yeah. Yep, and that would be repurposed. That's not mm-hmm. going. That building's not going anywhere. It's on.
If
the
you haven't seen it, just for our radio listeners, if you think of the opening of Shawshank,
yep.
it is that classic old, you know, concrete. It's actually beautiful, mm-hmm. very regal structure to it. So
you did bring up. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
You did bring up the safety issue,
yes.
and there haven't been any. Escapes as of late. What's going on right now with the lockdowns, as village president, I do get concerned, quite honestly, after talking to guards and inmates saying, you know, these folks are just sitting there stewing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Chris, you asked, what's going to happen, right?
Yeah.
Bad things can happen. And
it's a powder keg.
It is a powder keg.
Yeah.
And there have been, I've been told, whether it's true or not, I was told by some retired guards that the technology that they use, because of the age of the infrastructure, the technology they use to secure the borders when guards are not in the towers is down about 30% of the time.
Wow.
So if something blows up, meaning people, if people get upset and they start creating trouble and that spills over into our community, that worries me.
And my community that I represent borders yours.
Correct.
Yep. Yeah.
So there are many, many good reasons to close that place, and there are very few reasons, if any, not to.
Yeah.
And I think it's fascinating too, in some of the notes you had. One of the comments you have in here is that Democrats and Republicans both agree it's gotta be replaced.
Yep.
They just can't agree on the next steps, which is mind boggling to me. Something has to be done. Take action. Do something.
Yeah.
Make it better.
This is the world we live in where it seems like if you don't get 100%, then you don't play at all.
Correct.
And I think that there's a time for that. And in this situation, you are dealing with probably all in between staff and inmates. It's got to be close to 2,000 people.
Yep.
Right? You're dealing with 2,000 people's lives that everybody knows are in danger on every moment of the day right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's doing nothing but getting worse because of the situation that we're creating at this point. Again, don't get me wrong. I understand that people are in facilities because of actions they took.
Right.
Right. So I'm not trying to say that, but we do own the powder keg factor. The fact that we have been aware of this infrastructure or this building's issues and the staffing issues for a very, very long time, and we've not given them any tools to fix it. We can't address the rising mental health issues. We don't have the staff to try and educate and help get out, and we can't make anything more comfortable for either the staff or the residents. That's a bad deal.
And we talked about this a little bit. Whatever happened to all the and maybe I'm wrong on this question, but what happened to all the facilities we had that were strictly for inmates that had mental health issues, like secure mental health hospitals? Whatever happened to that? Didn't we have those in the past?
We've lost a lot of them. It's all funding related, right? So we used to have mental facilities all over the state, and it wasn't necessarily just for those, you know, incarcerated. It was in general, we have shut down county facilities, state facilities. They're all shut down to save money. That's the bottom line. The theory being people can find the help they need in the private market. I would challenge anybody to check the math on that. Check the math. I do not have the date when these hospitals and these the psychiatric wards started closing, but we all know it took place. And I would put money, good money, on the fact that our prison population started spiking at the same time that alternative treatment options dissipated. Fair?
I mean, I can give you that one.
Nice.
I don't know if that's a clean point.
I don't know that you've ever given me a clean point.
I don't know that I'm 100% there, but I'll say I'm 92.
All right.
Because I think it's a valid point.
It's a valid point.
It's a very valid point, but it needs to be addressed. It needs to be fixed. But there are people, like we talked about, in prison that need to be there. Right?
Yeah.
But there are also people there that need help.
Yeah.
And how do we agree? That?
Nobody wants to let go of a bad guy and have them, you know, we're talking, but nobody wants that. Nobody wants them to live next to it. We're not taking away from that. But there's an awful lot of people. Again, what's the word rehabilitation mean? Mm-hmm. If your punishment for a crime is you're going to do 15 years, well, then if they've done that,
do your time.
Then you have to let them be, right? Mm-hmm. So if we're putting them in a worse situation, which is my fear, I don't care if it's a 5-year sentence. I don't care if it's a 3-year sentence. If they are going into an environment that is causing more harm than good, and by the time they get out, they are more angry, they are in worse position than they were when they got in, what do you think is going to happen? And this is where we are today. This is what's the word I can never say?
Recidivism.
Yeah, that one. I can't say it.
There's a great line, because you mentioned Shawshank earlier. There's a great line in Shawshank, the main character, Andy Dufresne, when he looks at Red and says, you know, I had to come to prison to learn how to be a prisoner, to learn how to be a criminal. You know, it's a great line, because what you're talking about is we're putting people in there sometimes with no training, education, rehabilitation, that type of stuff, so we end up with recidivism.
Yeah, and if you think there isn't a, you know, there's a lot of conversations we have that I kind of wish that we would have somebody that's been inside sitting here. And maybe we'll do that next time. But I think that there is a reality to you may have been one level of almost like a petty theft kind of thing. But if you end up in there long enough, you're going to be hardened. Hardened emotionally and physically. And that will be scarring. In the conditions that we're putting out right now, which leads back to your point on the, isn't there a better way we can do this? Isn't there a better way that we can distinguish from those that we can help and they can come back from this, those that need mental attention and those that need to just be locked away for the good of everybody else. We got to figure that out. Chris Elf, I'm here. We are heading into our last break. Hang in there. Again, we continue to talk about a little prison action here in downtown Green Bay. It's Bobby McGee, my favorite song. See you on the backside.
My harpoon and my dirty red bandana. I was playing soft while Bobby sang the blues. Windshield wipers slapping time. I was holding Bobby's hand in mine. We sang every song that Javi knew. Freedom is just another word for nothing left to lose. Nothing, I mean nothing, honey, if it ain't free. Yeah, feeling good was easy, love, when he sang the blues. You know, feeling good was good enough for me.
Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
Hey. I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things. Like by a world-class German blade factory. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try soon. Harry's is available online and in-store at a retailer near you. Get a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/quality. That's harrys.com/quality. Or check us out at your local Costco for a price you can't find anywhere else. Just look for the Chrome Razor with 13 blade refills at your local Costco. You can't miss it. Exclusive to Costco members.
This is Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
Welcome back to the Rational Revolution. I was trying to get Meathead's attention over there, but he had his earphones on.
What?
I was going to have you bring us back in. I was giving you your big chance.
Oh, welcome back. We're welcome back. How's that? Did I get it?
No. Come on.
Well, I had a text come in from somebody who's listening to the show. And just,
That's nice. Yeah. That's nice.
I apologize, but next time.
That's all right. It's the end of the show. You don't need to come back. All right. So, again, we've come on back. We're talking with our friend here, Jim Rafter, president from the village of Alloway, and we've been talking about the Green Bay Correctional Facility. So we kind of left the conversation talking about the perspective from the community and that there is actually a revenue positive thing that would be, you know, if the prison were taken down and moved, whether it's rebuilt or not, mm-hmm. it would be good for the community. Not because of fear of the facility, but that could be developed. And from a tax-based perspective, it would be good for the community. Let's talk a little bit about, we had mentioned the whole mental facility, the mental health facility in that crisis. We know that the build on this, the projected cost of this building would be about $500 million. $500 million for a new facility to replace what is there now. That's a lot of money, but I can't imagine how much it costs to run the building we have right now, as inefficient as it is. Jim?
$45 million a year last year.
$45 million for the year in operating costs.
Yep. The budget was $40 million, according to the annual report, and expenditures were $45
million. So, in essence, in 10 years...
You spent $500 million.
Yeah, and the operating costs are that much lower on a larger, a better facility. Mm-hmm. And again, where our hope is that if a facility is built, it's with some new concepts in mind so that those that are incarcerated are getting the best version of rehabilitation.
And you would hope you'd build it with the intent that it can last for 50 plus years. Yeah.
So we're going to kind of finish this conversation with why, you know, based on what we're saying, why hasn't it been done yet?
What I'm being told and what I'm seeing is that while everyone agrees that it should be closed, no one agrees on how to go forward, and they won't commit to closing it until they know how they're going forward. Governor Evers, Secretary Carr, they want to reduce the prison population, move people around. And the Republican side says, we, regardless of whether we do that or not, we have a need for a place to house these folks and have programming to help them get out. And we have Republicans willing to talk about criminal justice reform. We have Democrats willing to agree that there needs to be a place to keep these folks. But at the highest level of our government, no one from either side is sitting down with the other side and saying, what do we do about this?
Right. Well, once again, we come back to the issue of my team versus your team, mm-hmm. right?
It's and, not purple.
And we have got to move forward. Mm-hmm. And us holding out for the perfect answer one side or the other is not healthy. And there are literally lives, people's lives and their families that are affected.
Yep.
And again, we talk about from multiple perspectives, and it's valid. It really is. It affects far more people. My issue in this is, if everybody agrees on the blue and the red that this facility's got to go, if everybody agrees that our system itself could be upgraded and utilize some newer forms, then why can't they at least agree to build a facility that maybe it is the mental health version of it? Maybe that's what they build, which frees up enough room to then reallocate those that are left. If we have a, you know, $6 billion excess, rather than giving everybody a dollar and a half back, why don't we use that now? That is a one-time expenditure, which will save its other, it'll make its money back, right?
So I can agree with that.
There are versions of this that I think we can agree on.
Absolutely.
And the lives affected must be improved, because every minute we argue about which bucket to take it out of, or let's change this philosophy before we fix this problem, there are almost 2,000 people and their families that are honestly being abused.
And we're talking just about GBCI, because Waupun
is just as bad.
And I believe they're a bigger population.
Right. Yeah. So now if we assume they're big, let's just now say that we're now pushing 5,000 families are mm-hmm. affected by what's going on. So this is where, again, the rational revolution would say, what do we agree on from both sides, gain some, you know, some conversation, some momentum, and let's go get it fixed. Let's not squander the opportunity. If the excuse first is we have no money, that excuse is null right now, because mm-hmm. we do have the money. If the excuse is we can't afford to lose a facility, well, then let's figure out a way to reshuffle so we're actually causing some good.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So what we can't have is overcrowding. What we do need to talk about is who's going in on the front end in terms of what could we have been doing from a mental health standpoint, from a drug situation, to help less people end up there. And then those that we must deal with, can we agree being treated humanely is a right?
Yes.
Right.
Yep.
Making the mistake, whether it be a horrible mistake or it being a fairly minor mistake, is a mistake nonetheless.
Right.
But that does not mean we have a right to treat somebody inhumanely. I don't care. That's not right. That's not who we are as a society.
It's not who we are as people.
Right? We agree to be better than that.
Mm-hmm.
We don't even, I mean, think about the way we have zoos today. Remember the Milwaukee Zoo, the old Milwaukee Zoo? Samson in the little cage?
Mm-hmm.
We thought it was pretty cool for a while, and then we realized how horrible.
Right? It caused problems.
And yet we have better zoo reform than we have prison reform. Does that make any sense to us? We're guilty, nope. though. We're guilty because we're allowing it to happen, whether we think it doesn't affect us or there's a complacency, and we have to pay attention and realize that this is a real issue, and your brother or your parent or your child may not be the one that works there, may not be the one that's incarcerated, and yet this is impactful. It's impactful to entire communities.
One thing that concerns me is that staffing is being blamed for all the problems. And as I mentioned before, back in 2018, there were 12 people they were short 12 people.
Yeah. No, it's a powder keg, yeah. and it's mm-hmm. going to get worse. And the system that we've set up is doomed for failure. That's the bottom line. Green Bay is an example of that. And all we can do is try and learn from it, try and be better. And that is policy and public opinion.
Yes.
And both have to start getting aligned to share a vision of really what this should be for us going forward.
Yeah, we can fix this.
I believe we can.
Yeah, and absolutely.
The money is there. The will is there. Let's just get our act together.
Right.
To both of you, I appreciate you being here. Jim, thank you so much. You're in a challenging situation. We appreciate you taking time. And Dean, I'll see you next week. And again, tune us in. We are now statewide on the Civic Media app and all stations running on Saturdays starting next week. Next week. So tune in.
Exciting stuff.
We appreciate you being here. Take care.
Your home for Mino and the Mayor in the Morning. Weekdays from 6 till 8. Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM WISS. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Max Inc. Radio invites you to a live concert each week over the radio. It's Live in the Lair on Max Inc. Saturday night. It's a full hour of live music and in-depth interviews with the artists. Listen across Civic Media every Saturday at 9 p.m. and grab the podcast at maxincradio.com. Live in the Lair, presented by the Aaron Weber Group at movetomadison.com. Max Inc. on Civic Media. We are local music.
Listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievert.